All right, we just read our text there in Genesis 27, but if you will, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Talk, my message is blessed or cursed. Blessed or cursed. I pray that we can one more time today, if the Lord be pleased, one more time to let us see how a sinner can be made just before a holy God. I want to hear that every day. I need to, you don't grow past that. That don't become old hat if you're a sinner. That don't become old hat. That doesn't get like, well, we got that down pat now. If you know that there's a holy God you're going to approach. He'll be with us today. I want to see one more time, plainly, as plain as it can be shown, how a sinner's made righteous, made holy before a holy God, and can enter into His presence and be blessed by Him, be accepted of Him. Throughout the Scriptures, there's something we need to understand first. There are types of Christ in the Old Testament. Many types, aren't there? The lambs, the firstborns, the brazen serpent, the ark, the Passover. So many types of Christ. But there's also anti-types of Christ, isn't there? When Adam fell, people say Adam ate of the fruit. Well, that's the action. What'd he do? He listened to his bride. And he blamed God for it. He submitted to his wife. And he blamed God for it. That's an anti-type. Christ is Lord. Our King rules and reigns. Our great husband does not bow to doesn't submit and is usurped by his bride. He rules and reigns. He's all wise. He's all knowing. He ought to. We ain't got no business telling him what to do anyway. Modern man, natural man has this flip-flop, don't we? We're going to bend, twist God's arm, make him do what we want him to. No, you ain't. So in that way, Adam's an anti-type. As the first, as the seminal and federal head of his people, he is a type of Christ. So there's types and anti-types sometimes in the same people. We're going to look at a type of Christ briefly this morning. That in most of the Old Testament Scriptures and most of your lives, you've seen this as an anti-type of Christ. So let's put our learning caps on. A friend of mine preached it. I don't make titles to get hits on sermon audio and on YouTube. Boy, I sure could. Esau is a type of Christ. Oh, he gets some people ready to cut his tires out in the parking lot before he left that day. It's so. He's a firstborn, wasn't he? That's what we're going to look at today, or part of it. We don't know what we don't know. We think we do. We think we know so much. Christ told those Pharisees, we read earlier this morning there in John 7. Christ had healed the man at the pool of Bethesda on a Sabbath. And he said, take up. He made him whole. Plumb whole. Inside, you talk about circumcision of the heart. That was complete salvation. Take up your bed. Rise, take up your bed, and walk. You serve me now. You're going to follow me. And that man said, yes, sir. And he got up immediately, took up his bed out of that place, that house of ill repute, false religion, and he walked. And those Pharisees got so mad. They said, what do you think you're doing carrying a bed on the Sabbath day? And he said, you know, Moses gave you all circumcision. You can circumcise on the Sabbath, can't you? Well, of course we can. That's right. That's holy. And he said, I just made him plumb whole. Talk about circumcision of the heart. It's what he read English in black and white. That's what he told Moses. This is the circumcision of the heart. But on the outward side, just as a sign and a type, you're going to have physical circumcision. And the Lord told those Pharisees, I just made that man whole on the inside and out. And you're going to accuse me? He said, you judge. Don't you look at the outward appearance. You judge righteous judgment. Do we know what that is? We'll stick our nose up in the air so high we'd drown if it rains, thinking we do, don't we? What did James tell us? He said, ye see then how that by works man is justified and not by faith alone. Poor James. Oh, people abusing. That man, Lord taught him some things, and he told it plainly, and the Lord used it as a stumbling block. But you talk about somebody that had a handle on what the gospel was and how that affects the lives of men and women that God saves. Not people that think they're saved or people that think others are saved. But when God saves somebody, James said, this is what happened. He said, you see then how that not by that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Oh, that sounds so wonderful, doesn't it? That was a lying prostitute. Let that soak in. What righteous works she had. She lied. Y'all go out that way. I don't know where they went. I think I'm going to close the gates up. Y'all head down that way. I think they went that way. She lied. Is that a righteous? Is that righteous? Do you think it is? Yeah, what's your first instinct? Don't say it out loud. No, it ain't. Right's right and wrong's wrong. That's true, but it's God's right and God's wrong. What he does is right. He said that was an act of faith. You going to say something different about it? You ain't disagreeing with me. You ain't disagreeing with Rahab. You judge righteous judgment. Judge righteous judgment. God said, Rahab's mine. Oh, she's perfect. Because she's in Christ. She served his people. Was she out by herself, just in the woods, alone, talking to a squirrel? No, she was serving God's people. Lord said, that's faith. That's my, right there is perfect. My good and faithful servant. Turn over to Romans chapter 8, verse 16. I tell you all, so often we must be drawn to the Lord. We must be made to see our sin. We must see God's holiness. And we must be made one with Christ to be in God's presence. We must be clothed in His righteousness. We must smell like Him. We must be shut up to sin. And ask of Him when we pray and respond to Him only in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only in His name. It's not just something we tack on at the end that we say. It's in Him. In His name. How do you want to be found? People ask that a whole bunch when I was growing up. Where do you want to be when Jesus comes? When the Lord returns, how do you want to be found? What does your wicked old nature think? I want to be found reading my Bible. You hear me? I chose my words carefully. You want to be found reading your Bible when Christ comes? What did Paul say in verse 9? You read from 8 to 10. I know exactly why you did that. But Paul said, I want to be found in Him. You'll be found out feeding the homeless, feeding the poor at a soup kitchen. I want to be found in Christ. I want to be in Him when He comes. That's where we need to be. Look here, Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, that we are in Him. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Who are these joint heirs? Joint heirs. Who is that? Look here in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He, Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, which sums up the firstborn Son. He that spared not His firstborn, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. I don't think that's right. How could God punish His own Son? That's not. You going to lay anything to charge of it? God did it. It pleased Him. He's the one that justified it. That's righteous judgment. He justified it. I wouldn't talk against Him. I wouldn't take sides against the Lord. You going to not come out well. How can you and I be joint heirs with the firstborn? What's the history of the firstborn? Throughout time, we've had a whole lot of things change in this nation and other nations, but the firstborn was declared of God. The Lord said, everything that opens the womb is mine. Firstborn child, they received double shares. They had the birthright. It was their right, and they received the blessing of the father. If you have three children, and you're going to leave your inheritance to them, that one got half, and these other two got a quarter. They got a double portion, a double share. We're going to say it in a minute. That's what the firstborn got. Someone has to physically be born first, don't they? Boy, what a stumbling stone. I mean, what a bone for the armchair theologian to chew on. Jacob and Esau, I don't give you my opinion often. I bet that's the first set of twins. They were twins. Who's the firstborn? Well, they were born a day before everybody else. Well, what if they were born the same day? I was going to figure this out. The one physically came first, didn't it? Jacob was holding on to his ankle. So we get to plantar fasciata. He's a subplantar below underfoot. He was holding on to him. Esau was born first. That doesn't make them joint heirs, does it? Twins in the same belly, warring in Rebekah's womb, together, born at the same time, conceived the same time. Doesn't make them joint heirs, does it? One was the firstborn, one what? It's Esau's birthright. He received the double portion from his father. It was his right, and he was blessed by the father. He blessed it upon him. Now, how can we be joint heirs with the firstborn? Christ is the firstborn. How can we be joint heirs with Him? What's impossible with man is possible with God, isn't it? If we are to be blessed, we must be in the firstborn, made one with Him. Hebrews 1:6 says, and again, He will bring, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He brought in the firstborn, Christ. He saith, let all the angels of God worship Him. That firstborn is Christ. So if we are going to be blessed of God, to be given eternal life, a holy nature, and that can sin forever, that cannot sin forevermore, holy forever, forever accepted by the God we offended, the God we sinned against, we must be in Christ, our elder brother, the firstborn. We must be made joint heirs with Him. Paul wrote to us in Ephesians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We must be in Him. We must be made one with the firstborn. I labored that heavy. Now let's turn to our text, Genesis 27. I'm sorry, turn to Romans 9 one more time. Here's what we'll get at. Romans 9. You're in Romans 8, turn to Romans 9. The Lord gave us this story to show how we can be in Christ, how He reconciles sinners to Himself, and how someone that sinned against the Holy God and Him alone were able to approach Him in His presence and to stay with Him and receive the blessing of the Lord forever. Every one of us have an end. Today of the day, individually, ain't nobody going to be there with you. You care to hear how you can come into the presence of a holy God? Romans 9, verse 10. And not only this, but when Rebekah had also conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. That's the whole gospel wrapped up in one sentence. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Paul was quoting Malachi 1. But I want us to see where this story came from. Let's see the story. We read it this morning, but let's look at the whole thing. Turn over to Genesis. Now we turn to Genesis 27. Genesis 27. Who was Jacob and who was Esau? Esau was born first. Esau was a large man. If you would think, and that's so common, outwardly we think, well, there's a child of God. That must be. It squeaks a little bit every time they smile. They're just so holy and outwardly and strong and happy all the time. That must be a child of God. That other one's weak and frail and sick. And don't have no faith or unbelief all the time, and they question, they don't know much. That one couldn't be it. They ain't got no strength to them. They ain't grown up. Esau was the firstborn, big redheaded fella, hairy all over, strong, strapping, funny, easy to get along with, hard working, and his father loved him. Back then, you had favorite children. That was Isaac's favorite. I liked that one. Jacob come out, deceiver. You know, in the 1700s, they didn't name children until they were like 2 or 3 years old because of the infant mortality rate. They said, this is our visitor. And then once they was big enough, they'd name them. Well, they would name beforehand, but you got to know them a little bit. So when they were given a name, it went with what they were like in real life. You know, Jacob was supplanter, deceiver. Deceiver, liar, cheater, stealer. And big, strong Esau. Strapping young man. Loyal, hardworking. My favorite. And the other one, we beat him, but that's Rebecca's son. You ever said that? When the children do well, they're mine. And if they do something bad, I say, your child did this, set the living room on fire. Rebecca said, this is my son. Because the Lord spoke to Rebecca. There was a war going on in her belly. Boy, what a message. Preach about two natures. There was a fight going on. It wasn't like, ooh, they kicked a little bit. It was bad. Bad off. There was a war going on with her. And the Lord sent a messenger to her and said, the elder's going to serve the younger. Malachi clarified that for us. Said, I love Jacob. I hate Esau. Well, that's strong words. That's the Lord's words. Take it up to him. Hated Esau. What's even stronger and more amazing to a sinner, he loved Jacob. Wasn't a firstborn. Wasn't strong. Wasn't strapping. Lied all the time. Deceit. That's me and you. What a picture. In this particular part of the lives of Jacob, Esau, Isaac, and Rebekah, we see how sinners are saved. How we are blessed. And here's the tops. Here's the parts. I want to tell you ahead of time before we look at them. I'm going to go through them kind of quick. Isaac represents God the Father in this. We read this. Isaac the Father represents God the Father. Rebekah is the Holy Ghost. That's God the Holy Spirit that works in the hearts of His people, that reveals Christ to them. Convinces them of sin and convinces them of righteous judgment. Esau here is a brief type of Christ. If you want to throw rocks at me, wait till after service. He's a type of Christ. Just as Peter was when the Lord said, who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Peter, as a very brief type of Christ, answered for the group and said, you are the Christ. You're the living God. Esau, here's a picture of Christ. And you know who Jacob is? Who's the liar? Who's the one that don't know nothing, that can't carry a sack of potatoes, and that just ain't good for nothing? Mama's boy. That's me. If you're God's people, that's you. That's us, isn't it? Here in verse 1 through 4, we see the covenant of a blessing made. This is that eternal covenant of grace before time was. This is what this typifies. Look here in verse 1, Genesis 27, verse 1. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said to him, my son. Oh, that one I love. My favorite one. And Esau answered and said, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out into the field and take me some venison. You go kill me a deer. And make me savory meat, such as I love. And bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Now if you read on, Isaac lived a few more years. But he thought this was it. He thought the Lord gave him dying grace. And he said, I love the way you make backstrap. He said, you go shoot me a doe. Young doe. You don't want a big buck. Young, tender doe. Look hard for it. Go shoot me a doe. Come back and you make that backstrap stew you make that I love so much. And boy, I love you so much anyway. Oh, I favor you so much. I'm so proud of you. We'll eat this together and then I'm going to bless you. It's your birthright. He already sold his birthright. That's an anti-type. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you with a double portion of the inheritance. He's going to be head of household. Do you know that? You're going to run this place. You're the firstborn. That's how it's going to happen. You're going to be the spiritual leader of this family, Esau. You'll take over when I die. You've been around longest. You've heard the gospel more than anybody else has in this house. You're going to have to run this place. Lead the family. Receive that double portion. In verse 5 through 10, we see the Holy Ghost speaking to the heart of the sinner. Verse 5, and Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, she heard this covenant. As a picture of the Holy Ghost. What did he come speaking of himself? I told you that a couple weeks ago. People are so wrapped up in the Holy Ghost. Is the Holy Ghost there? The Holy Ghost ain't here. The Holy Ghost don't speak of himself. If you're looking for him, you ain't looking for the Lord. You ain't betting. Come speaking of another, didn't he? Speaking of that covenant of grace that the Father and the Son made before time was in Christ. Putting his people in him. It says in verse 7, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, Jacob, you listen to me. Obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Now go to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. I know just how to make it. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. I have heard of this covenant. And here's what you're going to do, Jacob. Obey my voice. You go get two kids. Go get two baby goats out of the flock. And who's going to do the cooking? I'm going to cook it. Because I know how he loves it. Rebecca's his wife. She's cooked for him a long time. He preferred her cooking. She knew exactly how he wanted it. You go get the goats, and I'm going to take care of everything. Here in verse 11 through 12, we see the Holy Ghost's conviction of sin. The Lord said when he comes, he's going to convict of sin. That's going to be the first thing, isn't it? In the heart of the believer, heart of the sinner, and he's going to convict us of God's righteousness, of his holiness. Look here in verse 11. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, after hearing this, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man. I'm smooth. I ain't nothing like him. Inside or out. If you know who Christ is, first thing you're going to see is I ain't nothing like him. I don't feel like him. I don't look like him. I can't do what he does. I ain't like him. My father, peradventure, will feel me. And I shall seem to him as a deceiver. And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. If I approach God, I'm convicted of sin now. I'm convicted God's holy. That pretty well happens at the same time. No, because that's the opposite of what I am. I ain't the same as him. If I go to God as me, I'm going to die. There's only two outcomes. There's a curse or a blessing. If I go to God in my own skin, on my own accord, it's going to be a curse. It won't be a blessing. That's the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom right there. There's a physical fear, and that fear transitions as the Lord grows us in grace to an honoring fear. Oh, a respecting fear. It's different in it. First, there's a fear, a physical fear of God. Verse 13, here's the conviction of judgment and the command with the power and the faith to obey it, for that obedient faith. Genesis 27:13. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch them me. I can't approach a holy God. I'm nothing but a curse. And the Holy Spirit, that triune God, comes to us through the preaching of the gospel and says, your curse, thy curse, you earned it. It's all you are, is on me. Christ bore our sin, didn't he? He bore our curse. He was made curses as anyone that hangeth on a tree. For us, he bore it. It's upon him. And what would you do? Obey my voice and go fetch them goats. You go do what I told you. The Lord said, they hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. And what do they do? Follow him. They obey him. Rebekah, as a picture of the Holy Ghost, speaks to him, to the heart of Jacob, and says, that curse is, Lord, take care of it. God of salvation will take care of that curse that you've earned. Put it on Christ. Now, you just obey the voice and you go fetch them goats I told you to go get. Verse 14 through 17, here's that obedience of faith and the work of another. Verse 14, and he went and fetched and brought them out to his mother. And his mother made savory meat, such as the father loved. Who did the cooking? What, Jacob? And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son, the best robe that Esau had, which was in her house. Where was this robe at? It wasn't in Jacob's house. It wasn't in his closet. This is the Lord's robe. Christ's robe of righteousness. The Holy Spirit comes and robes us in. And put them upon Jacob, her younger son. Who was in possession of that robe? She was. Who did the putting on? Put on the armor of God. Somebody else got to do it for you, don't they? Holy Ghost does. Holy Spirit comes to them. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. She cooked the meal. She put the robe, a garment of righteousness that was hers to give, not Jacob's, on him. And then she put the skins of two goats on him. She took the hides of them, put on his hands, so he's fuzzy, hairy like his brother, and put it on the back of his neck. And I've sat on that a long time. You take one small goat, a kid, that's what I call my children, children. You take one small goat, that'd cover my, I got big hands, that'd cover my hands and my neck easy. Why was there two? There's only one other place in Scripture that two goats are mentioned. That Day of Atonement. There was one goat they laid their hands on and took it out. Scapegoat. It removed the sin. How was that sin removed? Because the other one was slain. The blood. We do it. There has to be an atonement made. Without blood, there's no remission of sin. And a coat of righteousness must be put on. There must be a cleansing and a holiness given. This ain't... God opened our eyes. This ain't a story about a boy stealing a blessing. I saw children's books entitled Jacob Stealing a Blessing. That was a heading in my Bible. I'm probably going to scratch it out. Jacob's Stolen Blessing. It's so foolish. It's how God saves sinners. He gives you the heart to see it. It's got to be His blood, His righteousness, His savoriness, His work, His hands. Verse 17, she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. Now it's his. Here's salvation given to him. He possesses it. This is the gospel by which he's going to tell somebody else too. How'd you get that blessing, Jacob? He's going to tell you all about it. I don't think it's going to be on his lips. She gave him that savory meat prepared and that bread of life. The Lord said, He said, My body's meat, isn't it? I'm the bread of life. That's who was given to him, Christ. Coming to the Father in the name and the merit of the firstborn is what we see in these next two verses. Verse 18. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, and that thy soul may bless me. We need to judge righteous judgment, don't we? What we see is evil. What we see is not right. Right's right and wrong's wrong. Jacob stole that. That ain't right. The Lord said, this is how I save sinners. We need to obey the word of the Lord. He's already declared that the elder shall serve the younger while they were in the womb, didn't he? Rebekah knew this. That's why she sent it. But he uses men and he uses means to accomplish his will. Here's a declaration of a sinner saved by grace. Verse 20. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. How do you have a sacrifice acceptable to God? How do you have meat sufficient to please the Father? Where'd you get that at? You saved? How'd you do it? The Lord gave it. The Lord gave it. It's the first thing is clear. I'm Esau. The Lord gave it. That's where it comes from. We're told to draw near. Verse 21. Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. You come close. There's going to be an inspection. Some scrutiny is going to take place. Now, how do you think Jacob approached Isaac? Put yourself in them shoes. Your son coming to your father you've known your whole life. You know how he is. And you're wearing two baby goats on you and your brother's robe and your mom cooked the meal. I wonder if she put enough salt in it. Oh, there's still some blood dripping off these skins. This is fresh. Maybe I got his coat on crooked. How do you approach Isaac? With fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. He trusted the word of his mother. We trust the Holy Spirit. And they said, come bold into that throne of grace. They came with fear and trembling, with honor, with reverence, didn't they? But God, what God commands, God provides. Look here in verse 22. And Jacob went near to unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. What do you do with your hands? You work with them. Idle hands are the devil's workshop, ain't they? Jacob's was soft. My hands got soft last year and a half. And I forget. I go out and work, shovel some stuff. What's them red dots? It starts getting hot. That had never happened before. The work he came with was the work of the firstborn. That's what that's showing us. And he said, but the voice is Jacob's. As long as we live in this body of death, our voice will always be our voice. On it. Our sacrifice, our savory meal, it's another's. Our garments, that's our elder brother's. The skin, we got the skin of him. But with this body, our voice will always be our own. Oh, that we would be shut up to sin. Is that right? Come in the Lord's presence, quit telling everybody everything we know, and hush and listen. You think of Jacob. He said, your voice, you sound like Jacob. Do you think Jacob wanted to say another word? You ever been a teenager? Boy, zip them lips. I don't want to talk. These will catch on. I don't want to say anything. I just want the Father to taste the meal, not me. I want Him to smell the garment, not me. I want Him to feel the hair, not my hair. Don't have me say anything. Look at verse 23. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, and his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. It says he discerned him not. That means there was absolutely no difference between Esau and Jacob. This is how the Lord brings us to approach Him. That's how He draws us near. How the Holy Ghost equips us to be in His presence. God the Father will see us, and there's zero difference between the firstborn and the supplanter. That's a miracle of salvation right there, isn't it? That's the work of God. That's what's required to receive an eternal blessing of God's salvation, is to be one with Christ, undiscernible, to be made like Him, exactly like Him. His body, His sacrifice, and His garments. Are you sure you didn't add anything to that? We try. That's our nature, isn't it? Bring something. Something. But I did this. I was baptized. I taught a Sunday school class. I fed the poor. We will come, a sinner saved by God, will come to God declaring nothing but Christ. Look here in verse 24. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? You my firstborn? And he said, I am. Do you know what that... Oh, the great I am. He declared Christ, didn't he? I did some things in this life my flesh is proud of. I don't want to let it go. Lord whittles that stuff away from us, don't we? You have to let go. The Lord will shed of you everything you've ever done. I supported some ministries on this earth significantly at times. Are you Esau or are you Jacob? Are you blessed or are you cursed? You will come to God saying, Christ is all. That's it. I'm trying to whittle this down. Walk that razor blade. You're either in Him, made one with Him, a joint heir, it's impossible with man, made like Him, or you ain't. You're coming bringing something of your own. But Isaac discerned him not. It says in verse 25, and he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now, and kiss me, my son. Come kiss me with a holy kiss. David wrote, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We will be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even thy holy temple. That's how Jacob was blessed. The Lord caused him. He chose him and caused him to come to the Father, fully equipping him to do so. It says in verse 27, he came near and kissed him. While Jacob come and kissed him, Isaac smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as of the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. You smell just like him. You feel like him. You brought the meat that he made. Only he can provide. You're only him. Nothing else. And you smell like him. For we are unto God a sweet smelling savor of Christ. That's what we're made. Paul told us in Ephesians 5. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering. He is that offering. And a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. What's that sweet smelling savor? What's it smell like? It says the smell of the field that the Lord hath blessed. Do you know the Lord's got a garden? That's what it smells like. Solomon told us, thy lips, my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, and a fountain sealed. He goes on and said, spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all the trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, and all the chief spices. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. That's a garden the Lord blesses. Who increases a garden? The Lord increases a garden. He said, you're going to smell just like my son. That's a son I've blessed. I've made. It says in verse 28, therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven. Here's the blessing. And the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. You get the gospel from above. Preaching of Christ and the fatness of the earth. All the good things. Everything we have is good, isn't it? You throw your back out. That's good. That's the fatness of the earth. That's the Lord's providence, isn't it? And the corn and wine. The sustaining bread of Christ. The unleavened bread of Christ and His blood. That's a blessing. That beats a fancy car any day of the week, don't it? That beats a big bank account. Verse 29. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren. And let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. This is the temple of the Lord, isn't it? And he said, touch not mine anointed. His church, individually his people, parts of his body, and his body as a whole, and his body as a whole throughout time. It's his body. The Lord said, bless everyone that blesses thee, and curse everyone that curseth thee. Being made whole, the Holy Spirit clothes us in the sacrifice of Christ, our elder brother, in His blood, putting that robe of righteousness on us, putting on the bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, made one with our atonement. Atonement means at-one-ment. That's a good way to remember. You are atoned now, made one, having His smell, the smell of that precious things that the Lord of hosts blessed, that He declared good. See that in day 3 in Genesis this evening, Lord willing. Having His name, Lord, our righteousness. We don't declare our own name, do we? Declare His name. We are one with our prophet, priest, and king. Our Christ, our kinsman, redeemer. And in this work of the Lord in and for His people that He performs, we are made joint heirs with Christ. That's how it happens. We ain't got a whole lot to do with that, do we? Our sin was removed by the blood of Christ, and we were made His righteousness. That's the double cure. Be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. That's what Isaiah was told in Isaiah 40. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry on her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand. Who gave it? His hand. Double for all her sin. As joint heirs, we are given that birthright. And as joint heirs, we are given the blessing of the Father. And not one bit of it was to our works. Our doing. That was of our triune God saving His people. hope that's a blessing. Let's pray together.